Guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren, und herzlich willkommen zur heutigen Telefonkonferenz der Allianz SE anlässlich der Veröffentlichung des Geschäftsergebnisses.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to...
Ihre Information, diese Konferenz wird aufgezeichnet. An dieser Stelle möchte ich das Wort an Herrn Dr. Wemmer übergeben. Bitte schön, Herr
Dr. Wemmer. I would like to hand over to Dr. Wemmer. This conference will be taped. Okay, so good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that... That was the strongest result of the group in historical context, which also led to a 20% plus in operating results. And if you look at the graph on the diagram on the right-hand side, you can see that the operating profit is carried by all three segments, and I will go into detail on that later on, which was also positive for the more than 400 million plus in operating results. And after taxes, they were reflected without further changes in the net income, so that we have a 24% growth in net income. Standard & Poor's has confirmed the AA rating and has raised the outlook to stable, so it's no surprise that we still have a healthy and strong capital position, which has hardly changed compared to the end of the year, and I just wanted to underline that according to the accounting standards of IFRS, we have, when it comes to our pension obligations, we've included them according to the IAS Regulation 19, which reduced our shareholders' equity by 2.3 billion, which I've already explained in the last press conference, and this is also reflected here in the figures. Other than that, the financial markets in the first quarter remained relatively flat, even though we're all looking at the changes. Those changes were much more in April than the first 3 months, so that our net income, that we only need to add our shareholders' equity to the combined figure, and that brings to the shareholders' equity at the end of March. So let us now enter into the first quarter. The first quarter is traditionally the property and casualty quarter. We had a great start into the year, 2.7% growth, 1.3% of which are internal growth, and this internal growth was driven largely by price increases. In volume, we still have a slight decrease. In absolute figures, we've seen a really positive result in Germany as our largest OE, but you can also see that our global lines have seen a very positive development, and I would like to underline under the term Allianz Worldwide Partners. This is an organizational unit which we've created in the third quarter last year. Under this term, we have our global assistance business and the international health business, which was summed up in one unit in order to create synergies both on the distribution side but also on the service side. And growth was, we had really strong growth in this unit in the first quarter. Now the four OEs in the box at the bottom here, I would like to mention two, especially the United States, minus 31%. This is no surprise. I had already mentioned this in the press conference for the fourth quarter, that we would that we've changed our holding in the crop business, our participation in the crop business, and therefore we had a decrease of premiums that was announced before. Then Turkey, growth of 44%, that is purely internal organic growth of the existing organization of Allianz. That does not reflect the announced acquisitions, but it can give you an impression as to why we are so keen on investing into this market. Now page 7, here we come to the result component of our property and casualty business. And here we have a great combined ratio, 94.3%, below 95%. Therefore, this is or the global market leader and the large and multifaceted portfolio that we have, this is just a great result, which is not just based on one country, but which reflects the strategy of the group has been implemented across the board. It also means on the operating profit that we have an improvement in the underwriting business based to the improved loss ratio, and that then of course has an influence on the 1.3 billion in operating profit. Just a few words on the runoff ratio in the first quarter of 2013, that was lower than usual, but this is more a technical deviation and does not reflect the reserve policy of the reserve capacity of the company, which is still unchanged and great. Now on page 8 you can see who contributed to which degree to this great result in P&C, and we have the same list of countries as we had before with the volumes. Germany, 91.4% combined ratio, that before we have any misinterpretations here, I need to explain that this includes, that we have an internal reinsurance contract that was dissolved between our German subsidiary and the reinsurance segment, which had a one-off effect of 3.5 percentage points. So adjusted for this, we would have 94.9%, which is still a great figure because a combined ratio of 95 is our medium-term goal for Germany, so we're right on the track for when it comes to this goal. The other combined ratios all prove that our business is doing really well. We had 0.7 percentage points in of net cat impact in the first quarter, only 0.7%. Those were the floods in Australia, and that's why on the natural catastrophes under Australia you will find an effect, and also in our global major customer business, AGCS, you will find this reflected. Then I would also like to mention Turkey. Here we not just have the fantastic growth, but also a combined ratio of 92%, which reflects that this market is really interesting for us. Now let me just come quickly to the investment result in P&C here. We've seen a decrease of the investment result of 9.1%, which on the one hand reflects the fact that interest rates have come down and are at a very low level, therefore investment results will adapt with the downward trend. And in addition to this, we had a de-risking of our portfolio in Spain and Italy last year, so that we have foregone the high Spanish and Italian interest rates, which led to a decrease of 12 million compared to the previous year. Then the reinvestment yield of 2.7%, this is still quite positive, and I believe that we can still profit from the fact that we have a very strong investment team with a huge expertise that gives us additional benefits in this regard. Let me now switch to the life and health business. Here we have huge growth in revenues in the first quarter. The premium income increased by 8.3%, and internal growth, so adjusted for foreign exchange effects, was even 8.5%, and that was driven above all by new business growth of 15.2%. Now, where does the new business stem from? Well, the main drivers of growth are Germany, France, and Italy. In Germany, we can profit to a large degree from our great position in the group and large company business. We've signed two contracts with almost 500 million in premiums that have an effect here. In France, we have an elegant cooperation between our Luxembourg subsidiary and different French banks, which are distributing our products, and that led to a strong effect on the volume increase. And in Italy, we've been able to, when it comes to the unit-linked market, to dynamize this market again, and through UniCredit, so we've seen significant growth, but also with our own field force that is specialized on financial products. Now, the United States, the decrease is a continuation of what we've seen, of what we saw in last year when we switched our VA, our variable annuity products. So it's not a surprise, but if we look at the development in the VA business over the last three quarters, the volumes have increased quite positively, and I'll come back to that topic later on over the course of my presentation. But let us look now at the operating profit in life and health. Last year, the 825 million euros, that was a very strong start to the year 2012, driven by high realizations of profits, especially in Germany. And this year, we don't have that many realized profits, but nevertheless, our result has grown by another 30 million. And that is truly a positive development from my point of view. Reduction of the investment margin by 169 million euros. This could lead to the conclusion that it's based on the low interest rates again, but this is only a minimal part of the development. Out of the 169, 157 are due to our U.S. business, and these are just normal volatilities that you have in the accounting of our variable annuity business, and they don't have any long-term value or any long-term consequences. It's more or less a consequence of the accounting for this type of product, where on the one hand you have the hedges of the investment portfolio that contribute to volatilities on the asset side, and the liability side is reflected according to the rules of U.S. GAAP, and there are then accounting deviations that will be set up across the quarters and won't have any long-term consequences. You can also see the relative change of activated costs. Here you can also see this accounting shift into the other direction again, the impact of change in DAC. Now, if we come to the value of new business, which is a figure that we haven't mentioned that much in our press conferences so far. This is the measure for the profitability of our new business from our point of view. The margin that we looked at has decreased slightly to 1.8%, the new business margin, but this is against a backdrop of a significantly lowered interest rate environment, so it's still a very good value, but nevertheless we're still working on our product mix in order to stabilize this figure or even bring it up again. Another important point in life and health business, of course, is the question as to how the margin has developed for the investment margin has developed for our assets and our product portfolio with the guarantees and all that. These are quarterly yields. Quarterly yields, so not calculated across 12 months, but pro rata. And compared to the current yield has remained pretty much unchanged. Compared to the policy reserves, you can see that we haven't realized that many profits. You can see it's only 0.1% in the line net harvesting and other, compared to the 0.2% in the previous year. And if we go down the lines to the margin, you can see that our yield has gone down from 0.3% to 0.2%, but 0.2% or 0.22%, so 22 basis points for the quarter. And if you multiply this If you want to multiply this by 4, this would be 88 basis points for the overall year. And our internal objective, which we've published, are 75 basis points. So you can see that also when it comes to the profitability of life and health, we're still right on track. The book value of our assets has increased due to the interest rate reductions last year, but that has already happened last year, basically, and there hasn't been much of a change in the first quarter of this year. Now, the reinvestment yield, 3.1%, of course, higher in life health than in property casualty because we have longer durations here, longer investment horizon, and that is also reflected on the duration here on this slide. On page 14, you can see our market consistent embedded value. Hardly any changes this quarter because the capital markets have remained pretty quiet, and therefore I won't go into any detail on this. So let me come to our third pillar, our asset management business. Asset management business for the first quarter, we've seen net inflows of 42.6 billion euros, 40.4% of that attributed to PIMCO and 1.4% to Allianz Global Investors, or 1.4 billion rather. So great results for our two asset management units. PIMCO has increased its market share in the United States, especially when it comes to new net inflows. We now have double the net flow compared to the company in the second place of the market, which then leads to this additional increase of our assets under management. And it's, of course, also reflected, if we come to the next page, on page 16, it's also reflected in the revenues. 1.9 billion, so we're close to 2 billion when it comes to revenues, and it's not just the growth of the assets under management, but also the performance fee margin has increased by another basis point. That just shows the dynamism which PIMCO offers, not just in managing the market, but also in the development of new products. And this is really reflected in all our key figures. If we look at Allianz Global Investors, here the margin has slightly decreased. That we had some outflows in retail business, and the inflow was more in the wholesale business with larger customers. Now, if I turn these figures into the operating results on page 17, you can see that our asset management business has seen an internal growth of almost 50% in operating profit here. Fee income has clearly increased because the average fee contributions have increased, and in addition to this, then we have the economies of scale, so costs are growing much slower than that. And in the first quarter, we also had 200 million of performance-related fees that were included. These are figures that cannot be repeated each and every quarter, but we have the runoff of a private equity fund, and then for the administration, of course, the performance fees are then due. So the economies of scale can then also be seen clearly in the key figures of our cost-income ratio, which went down from 57.4% to 52.9%, and what's lacking to 100% is then the profit that remains for us. So to come to the conclusion of my presentation, I would just like to summarize all the figures in our group results and the different holding effects on the holding. Here we've also seen a clear improvement of profits, and though that the loss has decreased and only 40 million are mentioned here, but I would like to mention that under the 68 million we have the restructuring costs for the closing of the Allianz Bank in Germany. You're all familiar with this. And then the restructuring costs are booked in the operating result, and last year this wouldn't have been included in our operating business, in our operating results, so that the development of the corporate segment is also very positive at the beginning of the year. And finally, now how does all that reflect? How is the operating results reflected in the net income for the quarter of 1.7 billion, as you can see at the end of the page, of page 19? As I've mentioned before, the non-operating items are just a little bit worse than last year. Last year, from the valuation of the Hartford warrants, we had large one-off effects that haven't been repeated this year. Therefore, the first quarter of 2013 didn't have too many individual developments, and the effective tax rate, which through one-off effects was at the upper rate at the beginning of last year, came down with 32% to a value that is to be expected. So we're still paying full taxes in all countries, and this is also a figure that we can reflect, or that we can post with a certain kind of pride. So let me now reflect or summarize the results of the first quarter. We had a great start to the year with growth of revenues in all segments. This is reflected on our operating profit, and the growth in operating profit is basically reflected 100% in our shareholders' net income. We still have a strong capital position and a strong balance sheet. Now, then you will have to question why haven't we adjusted our outlook based on these positions. Well, we're reporting on the quarter and not on the whole year. The first 3 months have been great, no doubt about that. And some of the figures also enable us a very positive outlook for the next quarters. But still, we're living in a highly volatile world in which you, on the one hand, have the natural catastrophes that can affect us at any time, and in addition to this, the peaceful quiet that we've just seen on the financial market for us is not a proof that we've overcome the euro crisis. I believe we need to see the further development and wait what will come up. And with this sentence, I wanted to stop my presentation, and I think we can then start our question and answer session. Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. So again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal their questions.
Our first question today comes from Michael Flemming from Börsen-Zeitung. Yes, good morning, Mr. Wemmer, Mr. Groß. I have three questions, and you talked about a great start into the year, and in fact, the revenue growth is very high. The operating profit is quite high as well. Does that mean that Allianz is coming into a phase, basically, where they look around for growth, or do you still see that there is homework to be done within the group? Second question. You mentioned that in the P&C business there is still no volume increase, and the quarterly report also says that you expect that within 2013 the price increase will no longer be there. So when do you believe will you have volume increase in P&C in the entire group? And my third question, it's not too long ago when asset management had a higher operating profit than life insurance. And in the first quarter, this was reconfirmed. Do you believe in the midterm that this is going to be a permanent situation? Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Fleming, for the questions. I believe, in fact, the homework has been done very correctly by us, because you could also see our problem child fireman's fund in combined ratio started nicely into the year. This year, due to the changes in the crop business, which is the cover of crop risks in the US, we had to give up some volume, and that was anticipated and planned anyway. And of course, that is reflected on the volume reduction shown on that page. I believe in our list and how we positioned the individual OEs, we are ready to grow the global lines, our three major markets. And I believe that the total growth weakness that we do see in Italy, France and Germany and the previous year, and that we have overcome that. And I think we are gaining momentum there. The global lines, well, I am HCS, but also our Allianz Worldwide Partners. Very nice vehicles that offer us volume, and we also see that we have large appetite in the various emerging markets, whether it is South America, Asia, more on the large side, and also countries like Turkey. So I believe we are in a good position there. As a group, we have to make sure that an important growth carrier in Central Europe, due to the financial crisis, still not there at the moment. Our economy has to recover first in Europe until we have, if we go back to growth with that great market position we have worked on before. And when should there be additional volume? I mean, we're working hard on that every day, and then we're going to see when this will show effects. Asset management, well, we do not set any internal targets of who is the biggest contributor to that profit. As CFO, I love seeing that everyone tries to show the biggest contribution to that result, and I'm always happy to see competition. And my second question also related to P&C. When you would anticipate any increased volume, because you rather see that the price increase will no longer show effect. I thought I was including that in my answer already. With the crop business, currently that is a one-off effect for the miners. If we exclude that, we are actually in the plus. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Bernard. Now please, the next question. Nicholas Comfort von Bloomberg. Good morning. I have one question. I don't know whether it's really related to Allianz, but Commerzbank is in the process of selling your shares. And are you going to take part? And are you going to hold your position, or would you like to expand that position? Thanks. You please understand, actually, we can't give any answers or statements regarding business and transactions that are currently being developed, which I believe is not too relevant for the further progress of our share selling. And I hope that our colleagues from Commerzbank will have a lot of success in selling the shares. That is asterisk 1 to ask a question, to remind you of that. Please press asterisk 1. Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones. Yes, good morning everyone. I have a question about the price development in non-life, which seems to be positive, which sort of contradicts to what reinsurers have said. Probably you can specify where you saw price increases and the volumes and what that means for the new rounds that you are going to start with for the renewals. Well, I can give you an exact answer for that. In the annex of the presentation, you will find a very detailed page of the analyst presentation where the price increases are being shown. Just to give you a few catchwords, because the situation is different from market to market. But what is relevant for us, of course, is Germany, where we do see a nice price increase in motor, and Italy. The motor insurance prices do not provide for any further fluctuation, and I think we have reached the highest prices already, and there were a lot of price increases in the past few years. France, we talk about a broad increase of prices both in private motor insurance and also into commercial business, and we should emphasize that in the US, commercial business shows very nice price increases between 6 and 7%. But also, if you look at markets like the UK, they are still, depending on the area, between 4 to 8%. Australia, due to the many net cuts we have seen there during the past 2 years, shows nice price increases, very favorable in a lot of lines of business. Of course, price increases are an important factor in our business. However, you do have to consider that the quality of your portfolio has to be supported by underwriting and reasonable and smart pricing, so that should not only be the only source for further increases of profit. And if you look at our net income in Italy, and our combined ratio is much better than those of most peers. Specifically, if you look at the end of 2012, which clearly shows that markets which are faced with a difficult environment, or markets where the market share have been basically distributed, still by working better on the technical side and offering better services, you're clearly positively different and differentiate yourself from the competition. Thank you very much. Next question, please. There are no further questions at the moment. To remind you again, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. We have Jonathan Gould from Reuters. Another question. Yeah, just a short question. There's net asset inflows of PIMCO are amazing. Can you describe in a bit more detail why that is the case, to see this large increase, whether that is basically coming from the US investment expectations, that investors believe that the economic trend is going up? Can you describe that? Because other asset managers did not deliver these good figures. And you could also probably say whether this trend is going to stay and may be maintained. Well, we'd love to see this trend maintaining, of course. That is why, let me rather explain what we believe is the main success factors and how the trend is going on. Well, that is up to you and the market. PIMCO, on the one hand, have a very constant outperformance. It's very solid. If you look at the entire fund family of PIMCO and the performance of that We are always above 90% of our funds show an outperformance throughout the various measuring periods, 1 year, 3 year, or 5 years, which of course, for customers, that is a very important selection criteria, because people, whenever times are uncertain, everyone is, you know, there's a flight to certainty. That's why the performance market is quite important. That's why you can see in the US, the net inflows are focusing on the biggest asset managers. And I believe in 2012 and also in the first quarter, the top three were PIMCO, Vanguard, and Fidelity. These were the three top ones. PIMCO has twice as many new inflows as Vanguard, and Fidelity was even behind that. And on the whole, the picture shows a strong concentration on the key players. So, on the one hand, there's the track record that every player has to show as an investment manager, and PIMCO definitely is talked about, everyone. But also the dynamics of the products also play a role, and PIMCO also gained a lot of customers from their traditional fund, the Total Return Fund, and there were slight outflows of that fund in 2013, and the inflows are basically focused on new products that also deliver results and profit to and yield to the customers. If this long-term downward trend of the interest rates will stop, so more or less we are in a swing phase, 20 basis points up, 20 basis points down, and you know it's going up and down at the moment, and of course other products are required which we'll be able to have a smart selection of the factors and looking at the market development to further generate good yields for the customers. You know, the mentality is the winner takes it all. That's basically what you can say about the American asset management market. Yes? Just a probe, if that is allowed. I would like to ask, you had a callable bond recently that you terminated, or you called it from your petrols. And I would like to know, next year or so, in your petrols, there will any way to call them in these perpetuals, and whether your funding would be renewed to a lower level, basically talking about these perpetuals, right? Would you go on calling and whenever that is possible? Yes, the fact that we called the bond at $2 billion with an interest coupon of 8.375%, which is very nice for the investor, using other possibilities rather than getting the money rather than for 8.375%. Of course, that doesn't need to be explained any further. The first quarter, we got the money for 2%. These were senior bonds and no perpetuals. But it also shows that there is a range available when it comes to future calls. Even if I wanted, I should not talk about it, because then Standard & Poor's would cross it out of the equity ratio, and that would not help our solvency ratio. Lovely, thank you very much. Next question, please. We do not have any further questions at the moment, Mr. Dr. Bemmer. So let me ask out there if there are any further questions. If you have any further questions, please raise. Again, please press *1 to ask a question. Justin Leitels from Handelsblatt. Yes, good morning, everyone. Now, two questions about life. Did I get you right that you said that the increase is based on two major transactions? Probably you can say a bit more about that, probably whether that what is going to be anticipated for this year? And also if you see a shift within the product groups. Did you feel anything like that? You said in asset management in the US, winner takes it all. Does that also apply to life insurance? So that Allianz is able to benefit from the market position. Definitely, we do benefit from our market position in Germany, absolutely. And both in life business and also in asset management business in Germany, we do talk with a lot of high-caliber potential customers, and groups and big companies and corporations always think about their pensions and how people should invest their money for their old age pension. So the assets under management of more than 2,000 billion euros, of course, that gives us a particular expertise, and we enjoy a particular trust and confidence in the market. That's a specific situation. And did you feel any shift of the product of private customers? No, these individual large accounts, I mean, the big orders, these are single transactions which you can't generate every quarter, every month. If further orders will come in, it's great, but 500 million euros from two business, that is extremely large. It's quite unusual, and that's definitely not a rule. Do we know who these two companies were? Yeah, we do know that. But I'm really sorry that we can't disclose any names. We don't talk about customer connection. Of course, it's based on confidentiality. Let me ask all the really further questions. We have one more question from Frederike Krieger from Süddeutsche Zeitung. Yeah, I was about to ask for these two big orders in life in Germany, so that's done already. Yes, thanks very much, Mrs. Krieger. That was exactly my question. Again, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. No further questions at the moment, Mr. Dr. Werner. All right. Thank you very much for listening. And I look forward to receiving the reports and your conversations in the next quarter. And have a nice weekend of wisdom. Thank you very much. This is the end of our today's conference. Thanks for taking part, and we wish you a pleasant day. Thank you very much.